Welcome to Loving People to the Cross. I'm Pastor Tom Crandall. I'm so excited that you've joined us today. I hope and pray that this word from the Lord encourages you and uplifts you in your spirit. And I hope it draws you to walk closer with Him. Remember, after the podcast, stick around for one more message from me, your host, Pastor Tom Crandall. God bless you, my friend. This morning, I want to draw your attention to a very simplistic passage of Scripture, one that we've all quoted before, one that we have even heard quoted. We've even quoted it ourselves. But I have a simple question for you this morning. What makes you a Christian? What is it that really makes you a Christian? You know, in some religions, they believe that it is their birthright to enter into heaven. Some cultures say that it is their birthright to be able to claim a religion. Some cultures say that all you have to do is be a part of a social few to be recognized as a culture. A culture like ours has been changing for years. Did you know that when people go to the doctor, or they go to the DMV, or even now when you go into an incarceration facility, a county jail or a state penitentiary, there is a paper that you're handed, and they hand you an ink pen with that piece of paper, and they say, this is what I need you to do. I need you to go through there and answer all of these questions to the best of your ability. And usually it's your name, date of birth, social security number. Then they ask you about your religion. Did you know 97% of the people in the United States of America, in the state of Tennessee, majority of them mark Christian? They place it as they are a Christian. And I don't think that we have a true understanding about Christianity. I don't think we have a true understanding about what it means to be a Christian. Because, however, it does give us an opportunity to have one-on-one relationship with Abba Father. It gives us a chance to know Him more, know Him deeper, know Him on a more intimate level. But Jesus paints an outline here of what true Christianity really means. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. Paints it very clearly. And I think that when we look at this verse and we look at what Jesus says here, he's talking to the disciples and he's like, all right, look, this is your instruction. And he gives them all these instructions. And he says, hold on a minute, fellas. I want to tell you something here. And I want you to hear me. He says, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. You know, Mark had shared something with me back at Easter, and it was actually a kind of a comedy thing, but it was actually had a lot of truth behind it. And it showed the disciples say, you know what we ought to do now? We ought to go and steal Jesus' body. Tomorrow morning, we'll run and tell everybody He arose again. And they said, well, what's in it for us? What do we get out of that? They're going to kill us. Well, hold on a minute. You mean to tell me that we're going to die if we do this? I think it's a really bad idea. No, you don't get it. We'll go take his body. We'll tell everybody he arose again. Well, I don't understand what's in it for us. They're going to kill us. Think about that for a moment. At the end of the day, Christianity has been painted as a checkbox. A checkbox. Could you imagine people who believe they're a Christian? And I hear this all the time when I talk to people. What, do you go to church and work? Nope, I'm a Christian, though. Well, what makes you a Christian? Well, my grandmother was a Christian. My granddaddy was a Christian. My mom and dad were Christians. Well, what made them Christians? Oh, we were born into a Christian home. Well, what is your definition of Christian? Christian, that word broke down in Greek Hebrew. Do we know what that means? Little Christ-like one. That means we have personal relationship with Jesus, right? That means that at one time we confess with our mouth and believe with our hearts that we were filthy, wretched, pitiful sinners. And he was just and righteous to forgive us. And he said, you know what? I love you enough that I died for you. I shed my blood to wash you away, wash you clean, and to forgive you far as the east is to the west. And I love you enough, I accept your confession and come into your life and change it forever. Being a Christian, your life does not change because you make a check on a piece of paper. It does not change because you simply grew up in a home where people said, we're Christians. Because there are some behaviors that come along with being a Christian. There are some things that happen when you become a Christian in your life. What is one of the things that happens? The old man passes away and the new man is there. You become brand new. You repent. What does that word mean? To have a change of mind. You no longer look at things the same. But for some reason, we think that if we tell people, it's okay, you're a Christian, because I'm a Christian. Ladies and gentlemen, that will lead people to hell. I'm just going to be bluntly honest with you. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father except for through me. And for some reason, we've painted this outline of everyday life that says you're a Christian because we're all Christians. We believe that. Let me share this with you. There are people that are in church this morning who have claimed to be a Christian and never confessed Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. There are pastors standing behind pulpits this morning who claim to be Christians and have never confessed Jesus to be their personal Lord and Savior. Hear this. There are people who right now, at this very moment, who are just going to take their last breath, who have never confessed Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. That's a hard reality to face. But it's a real one. And there's going to be that day when we go and we stand before Him and He says, depart from me, for I never knew you. Whoa, 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 wait a minute. I'm a Christian. Well, your name is not found in this book. Depart from me, for I never knew you. You work of iniquity. Well, I cast out demons in your name. I healed the sick. I did all these things, Jesus. You've got to know me. My name's got to be in that book. Depart from me, for I never knew you. You workers of iniquity. That's going to be people who are standing in churches, pastors who stand behind pulpits, Sunday school teachers, choir directors. There are going to be people who have been in church their entire life but never accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, who are going to die and spend an eternity in hell. Yesterday I was just looking and I had seen this video that popped up and I ended up watching it. And I usually don't watch one all the way through, but this young man, he walks up and he says, this is the pastor's daughter of my church. She has died in this car accident with me, Jesus. And I know that this is her birthright to come into your kingdom. Well, hold on a minute. That's not a birthright because her dad was a pastor. It's not a birthright because she went to church. It's not a birthright because somebody told you that you were a Christian. Out of all of those lists, so many people think because they question something, it is what it is. Amen? Think about that this morning. I'm trying not to walk much. Amen? Not as young as I was, Lord. Hallelujah. But let me explain this to you. Think about it in this frame. Okay, y'all ready? There are people right now all over the world who are sitting in a church just like you are, who are fundamentally connected to groups and churches, are part of programs, they're serving on committees. Some of them will even have the pastor over for lunch today. Some of them sing in the choir. They're your typical role model citizen, part of the community. They thrive, they serve, and they've never confessed Jesus to be their personal Lord and Savior. Never. I'm going to pick on preachers for a minute. And teachers. This bothered me more this week, Waylon, as I studied for this than anything ever. I mean, the gospel in itself is convicting, so don't take this wrong. But this has bothered me more than anything so far in the past 10.5 years that I've been in ministry. But there are pastors right now standing behind a pulpit who never, ever have preached Jesus Christ, Him crucified, and on that third day rising again, and that He being the only way to the Father. That there has to be salvation. Could you imagine sitting under indoctrinated preaching that has no face value, that is only a feel-good message? I couldn't do it. It would drive me nuts. I want to know the convicting power of Jesus Christ. I had a man tell me one time, and this has stuck with me throughout my ministry. He said, I want you to understand, if you get behind that pulpit and you preach and I don't leave this place convicted about something, you have not listened to the voice of God. And I thought, man, that's powerful. Man, that's something there. You know, I want to encourage people. I want to be an encouragement. I want to uplift people. I want people to know that life happens and that we're here and that we're praying for them, that we love them. I want people to know that, but I also need us all to understand. You heard how I said that? Us all, including me, myself, and I, that we're sinners, that we're in need of a Savior, that we are filthy, wretched, pitiful, disgusting people by fleshly nature. And that we're not Christians because we check a box on a piece of paper. It's not our birthright. We have no rights to the kingdom of heaven unless we confess Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. Over the years, we have seen people belly wash. Y'all know what belly wash is, by the way. I know a lot of my older folks probably do. You know, you take that hog belly and you put the salt on it and cure it up. So y'all get that right. I've seen people belly wash and whitewash and water wash and tippy toe on Scripture because they're scared they're going to lose their job. I love y'all, proteins. Hear me when I say this. Session, I love each and every one of you. I'm grateful to be here, but I will not sacrifice my soul for a job. Amen? First and foremost, it's not a job, it's a calling. It's an honor and a privilege to get in this pulpit week after week and be able to preach this gospel. Secondly, I will not stand back while your blood is on my hands week after week and never preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not in me. I'm not built like that. I know what He saved me from and what He brought me to. Amen? This morning, I want you to understand, as Jesus says this, He says, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but they that endure to the end shall be saved. Some of the things and the values and the morals that we stand on are not politically correct. Amen? They're not sought by in society. They say, y'all are crazy. Did you know that Christians are on the terrorist watch list? That excites me. Some of you would say, how is that exciting? It should be exciting to all of you sitting here this morning, because here's the main reason why you should be excited about this. That means you're not only dangerous to the world, but you're a danger to hell. Could you imagine getting up every morning and having the mindset, I get to destroy hell for a living? Every day, everywhere I go, every morning when I get up, the enemy goes, oh no, he's up again. You know how exciting it is, Waylon, when you get up every morning and you stretch out, you go in the kitchen, you undo the refrigerator, you say, Lord, thank you for what you've blessed me with. Then you get in your car or your truck, you get to headed to work, and somebody cuts you off or pulls out in front of you. It's okay. I've been there. And my first initial thought is, man, you just cut the police off. How dumb are you? But that's not the first initial response we should have, is it? God protect them because they're in a hurry to get nowhere fast. Lord, and if today's their day, I hope and pray that they know you as their personal Lord and Savior, because God forbid they don't know you and they're killed today and they spend an eternity separated from you in glory. That should be our first thought. It should be. It's great to know that we're a blessed people. Somebody has instilled in me in the past several years, blessings are blessings. It doesn't matter what they look like. You might not even know they're a blessing, but they're out there. Amen?
Amen.
But Jesus said, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Christianity is not popular. It's not on the top 10 list of things to do with people's lives. But however, people that have no clue what Christianity stands for claim to be Christians. That should scare us, people. That should terrify us. Why? Why does that terrify us? Why should that scare us? Because there's people out there representing a Savior they don't even know. Can I share something with you? That's why half of the country says they don't want nothing to do with Christianity. You know what Gandhi said? He said, I'd be a Christian if it wasn't for the Christians.
Yeah.
He said, I would love to be a Christian, but I've met some other Christians. I know some of them. I've seen the way they treat people. I've seen the way they talk to people. We was in, back when I was still doing construction, we got this job to do one day. It was a small job. It was a day job. And the guy I was working for at the time, he said, I want you and whoever, I can't remember who it was, but he said, I want y'all to go over and do this job for me. And just this is his bill. Just give it to him. He'll write you a check. Just bring it to me this afternoon. And we get there, and I was like talking to the guy as we was working, and he's a pastor. He's a pastor. I'm not the type to go around and toot my own horn. And we're there, and we're working, and we're doing things, and I mean, it's hot. Super nice guy. He brings us water. Here you go, guys. And I asked him mid-morning, I said, what is it that you do for a living? I was taking a break in the middle of July. I'll never forget how hot it was. And he said, man, I'm a pastor. I pastor in such and such church. And he called the name of the church. It was a local church. Never met him before a day in my life. He said, I'm new to the church. And there's a lot of good people there. And he tells me all about the church. But lately, he never told me about Jesus. He never once asked about my personal relationship with the Father. Well, he must have assuming he sends people to hell. Remember that, church. Assumptions send people to hell. Because we assume that somebody has a relationship with Jesus doesn't mean that they do. It never hurts to say, can I ask you something? I mean, you say you're a Christian, but can you tell me about your relationship with Jesus? Can you? Answer that question in your heart. Can you tell me about your relationship with Jesus? I had somebody tell me one time, they said, Tom, and I think I've shared this with you before, they said, if you cannot remember the day and the time that you gave your life to Jesus, it didn't happen. Yeah, me being me. I said, I can't remember when I was potty trained either, but I know that it happened. It's true. I can tell you everything about that day. I can tell you everything about that night. Why? Because Jesus changed my life. A life lived for Christ, Abba Father, is a life changed for the glory of God. Because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you checked a box. It's because of the simplicity of the gospel that you gave your life and your heart to Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior. I hope this has encouraged y'all this morning. I really do. I hope that this weekend,
hey, it's Pastor Tom. I hope and pray this message touched your heart. And maybe even today you're asking yourself, do I know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior? You know, oftentimes in life we find ourselves in the mix of life. And life is hard, it's difficult. But if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and today you say, you know what, I want to do that. I want to accept Jesus. I want to know Him on a more intimate level. If that's you, my friend, today I want to pray with you. Simply just pray this. Father God, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to send Jesus to come and dwell in my heart and to be the Lord of my life. I know that I'm in need of a Savior, and without Him, I would be nothing. Amen. My friend, today, if you prayed that prayer, I want to hear from you. You can email me at PastorTomCrandall@gmail.com. I want to hear from you. I want to send you a Bible. I want to send you some information on how to continue to walk with Christ. I love you, my friend. All the angels in heaven are rejoicing with you. God bless you.